Let's turn in your Bibles to James chapter 1, because that's where you're going to find the answer to the initial question or the initial focus that I'm going to bring up. Because every year, there's a moment when the lights come down and the tree goes back in the attic. The music changes back to the top 40 of whatever genre you listen to on a regular basis. Life returns back to what we seem to call normal. Christmas ends rather quietly. Not like the way it comes in with bells and songs and whatever noises that we make. And if you're in the retail industry, it comes in starting the end of June and makes all kinds of noise, as it probably should, because of what we celebrate, what we've been studying for the last month or so, the birth of our Savior, the birth of our King, who had come into the world to be our Savior. Because He loves us. But isn't it, what's the right word? Isn't it interesting how quietly Christmas just fades off into January? And once January comes around, we get back to our usual routines. Not that we forget about our Savior, or forget about Christmas, or forget about what it's about. It's almost as if it's a subtle turning off of the switch sometimes for many. Here's how I know this is true, because just yesterday I was driving home from Conrad and Nancy's house after I blew the doors off of Stan and Connie's nice car, past them going down the highway. And two people cut me off before I got to my neighborhood. And I said to myself, yep, Christmas is over. People are back to their normal me first mindset. I don't think I cut the Stanleys off. I mean, the Wilsons, I mean. I don't think I cut them off. I just waved at them. We had a conversation, and then I hit the gas. Christmas faith, y'all, is not measured by how we celebrate the birth of Christ, even though that's important. The Christmas faith is measured by how we live after the celebration is over. You see? For the believers, for the genuine believers, for those of us who claim Jesus as our Lord and Savior and have surrendered ourselves to Him and what He's done on the cross, it can't be over when we take the lights down and put the trees in the attic and get ready for the next scheduled holiday. It shouldn't be, and it can't be. Otherwise, if it is, we have to sit back and question, what do we really believe? What are we really doing? I think it's natural to look at a new year as a new beginning, another chance, another opportunity to do something, whatever our New Year's resolutions might be, as was mentioned, how long they last, a couple days usually. I don't make resolutions. I try not to make resolutions because I know myself. I try to do better every day. Some days are better than others. But James, I was thinking about this, and James gives me the answer to how do I keep from silently and subtly turning Christmas off in my life? How do I do that? How can I keep it in front of me what we're celebrating at Christmas time? As we begin another year, should the Lord give us that time? Whether it's a whole another year, or whether it's 6 months of another year, or whether it's 1 month, or even a week, or a day. How should I live out the rest of the days of 2025? In a way that honors Jesus coming into this world in the flesh. Well, James chapter 1 in verse 22. James, my brother, my good friend James. I love James because he don't mess around. And he says this right here in verse 22 of chapter 1. Prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. This is it. That's it. That's the whole answer right there. If we believe what we believe about Christmas, then we will live in that verse every day of the year until the next Christmas comes around or until Jesus comes back. If we believe that our Savior, Jesus, the Christ, our King, came in the flesh on that evening, for the purpose of bringing us to reconciliation with our God. If we believe that, then we must be doers of the word and not just hearers of the word. You see. If we're just hearers of the word and not doers of the word, then celebrating Christmas is like ringing the dinner bell with no food on the table. Hello? How disappointing is that? Y'all can say amen to that. That's appropriate. Because if we're ringing the dinner bell, if we're ringing the bell at Christmas saying the Savior is born, the King is here, and salvation is offered, and then we're not living our lives in that way like we know Jesus, it's like ringing the bell to invite people to something that doesn't exist in our life. How is it that we're going to say to people, hey, come to our church and worship our God with us, if that's not, in fact, what we do every week? And we're not going to do it every week if we don't do it in our own lives every day. So sometimes, even in our heart, as the calendar turns over another year, sometimes we inadvertently turn Christmas off. Maybe not intentionally. But it can happen. So then we're going to go back to Luke chapter 2 and talk about some of this, if you don't mind. I mean, we're going to be talking about Jesus, so I hope you don't mind. In chapter 2 of Luke in verse 19, which we have been looking at for several weeks now, remember that Mary, when the shepherds came to see Jesus, what the angels had revealed to them, they said, we got to go check this out. And they showed up where Jesus was, and Mary and Joseph were there. In verse 19 of chapter 2 in Luke, he says, but Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. It's almost like that statement is just there in the middle of the whole event, and there's no explanation for it. It's there because Mary, you know, you think she had this big smile on her face, and she's pondering all the great things God's doing. She's got a baby now, and she knows who it is, and she knows what the angels promised her, and she knows what God's trying to do. She may not understand it all, but she's treasuring all of what God is doing in this moment. She's pondering on it. She's experienced it, but now she's thinking upon it. You know, sometimes you can think with your heart and not your mind. Most of the time you think with both. But sometimes we make the mistake of only thinking with our minds and never thinking with our hearts. Never feeling what our minds are trying to help us know about God and about what He's doing in our life. Maybe even about ourselves and where we are with God. I can only imagine that Mary and Joseph, Mary probably more than Joseph, because Joseph had his own conversation with God about this whole situation. But it wasn't the same as Mary's. But either way, they both knew that God was in the middle of doing something amazing and picked them to do it. So here they are, pondering these things in their hearts. The shepherds had left. The excitement had settled down, and Mary didn't rush on with her life. She didn't say, well, okay, let's get the donkey ready to go and let's get back to the house. I got dishes to do. She didn't do none of that. She didn't try to get back to her regular routine. She's living in the moment. of what God was doing. She didn't want to rush off to the next thing in her life. She's experiencing and pondering the reality of God's work in her life and in the world. And God's work often deepens in quiet moments after the miraculous thing happens. You ever think about that? I thought about that a lot this year. Because the year before, at the end of 24, we had the storm, right? So all of 25, we've been still dealing with that in different ways. And if you're like me, and I suspect that you are in this way, you have sat back and reflected on all the things that God did in the middle of those times. The hard times, the great times, the in-between times. Things that were surprising. Things where like you sit back and say, man, I would have never seen God in that way if this had not happened. I would have never participated in what God was doing had this not forced me to be available. I didn't think we could do, except for when God showed up and provided the way, you see. And if we don't live in that moment, because it was a hard moment, wasn't it? It was a stressful time for all of us in this part of the world. But if we didn't stay in that moment and ponder what God was doing, we would have been trying to relieve ourselves of some stress, and we would have missed out on everything that God had planned for us, even in that hard time. It could be that same way in a blessing. It could be that same way in a moment of mountaintops for us. Things are so great, but I got to get to work on Monday, so I got to hurry up and get church over with, so I can go out and eat with my family. I got to go home, get to bed. I got to go back to work, instead of living in the moment and seeing what the Lord is doing. Spiritual growth happens when we reflect on what God has revealed, y'all. Not just what we've experienced, right? It's oftentimes not until we look back on a situation that we actually can realize everything that God was doing. Even if we're disciplined enough to look for the Lord in the moment of every situation, and we can experience what He's doing in the moment and praise Him for that, or pay attention to Him, or surrender to Him, whatever we need to do, even then we look back and say, it was great when we experienced that, but I didn't even see this. Or I didn't even know it was as great as I felt like it was. So we have to live in the moment. We have to ponder the moment. We have to look for what God is doing in every moment, mountaintop or valley, fast lane or shoulder of life. We have to do it if you want to see God. If you don't want to miss, you don't want to live to be 80, 90 years old and wonder what God ever did in your life because you didn't stop to ponder the things of God. Didn't stop to ponder how is the Lord involved. You didn't stop to sing, God is so good, on occasion. I sing that song because it makes me think about all the ways He's good. And the only reason I know He's good is because of things that He's done in my life, the things He's done for me and my wife, the things He's carried us through, the things He's blessed us with, the times He's given us when we didn't deserve, and the times He's taken for whatever the reasons. Spiritual growth happens when we reflect on what God has revealed, not what we've experienced. You know, when there's a bell outside, I've never heard it ring. Somebody told me it works. We just have to make it. We have to make it work. I bet if you ring that bell once, it goes throughout the whole community. The sound. They don't hear the ring. They hear the echo of the ring. That's how a bell works. It makes a noise, and then it travels across the air. The sound wave does. Most people think an echo is when you say something and then it comes back to you. And that's true too, but it's actually the end of, it's got to go out first and then come back. It's an echo of the whole way. And the gospel is the same way. Your experiences with God are the same way. The Christmas celebration is the same way. What we celebrate at Christmas, what we believe about our Savior is the echo, the witness of the Christian life is the echo in our community. And it just ripples throughout the community so people can hear it. People can know that there's something there. So we're not going to rush past what God has shown us over this Christmas. Because I'm pretty sure that if we just sit back and just look at the Christmas time of 2025, if you just take some time at some point before Wednesday night and say to yourself, let's reflect. Let's ponder in our hearts the things that God has done just for my family over this Christmas time. Or maybe for Oak Grove as a church. What has God done? I'm pretty confident that we will not come up empty. You know? I'm pretty confident we won't sit back and be disappointed about that. And I'm pretty confident, based on what we know about God's word and about his faithfulness, that that will help us continue to grow and go into a new year, should the Lord give it to us, without shutting Christmas off silently. We don't need trees and lights for people to know about our Savior. They're fine. They're great. They're amazing. They're cool. I like them. I like Christmas decorations. We don't need it for people to see our Savior. It's part of the celebration. So ask yourself, what has God revealed about himself, and what has God revealed about me this Christmas? Sometimes I don't really want to know the answer to that second question. I need to know, but I know. Sometimes the answer is just not that great, what God reveals about me. Because it means I got to change something, or I got to do something different, or I got to do something better, or I got to stop doing something, or I got to make things different by my choices. Psalm 77 says, I will meditate on all your work, talking about the work of our Lord, about the work of our Savior. Luke chapter 2, verse 20 says, the shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told to them. Went back where? To work. Home. Wherever it is they came from. They returned to their ordinary life, no doubt. But they weren't the same. They couldn't have been the same. They went back to being shepherds, but they were shepherds who had seen Jesus. They were shepherds who had seen the King come into the world. They were shepherds who had traveled to worship God. They went to church that night, y'all. And I don't know about y'all, but coming to church with y'all and going home, knowing that we worshiped God and we looked in His Word and we prayed together, I enjoy that. I need that. That's why I tell people, me and my wife, we all the time saying we love Mondays. It's primarily because I try not to do much of work on Monday, but it's really because we worship God on Sunday. You see, that whole thing started years ago when all the people around us, they had jobs, like regular jobs, where they had to go to work every Monday. So they were all the time saying, we hate Mondays, we can't do it. So I ended up writing a whole sermon about how you can make your Mondays better. You show up at church on Sunday morning, your Monday will be great. That was the whole sermon. It was all about that. And ever since then, we've been putting on social media, we love Mondays. Encouraging people that the only reason you don't love Mondays is because you don't do much on Sunday to give yourself an opportunity to love Mondays. Go to church. And not just go to church on Sunday morning, but worship God, y'all, with your life. Romans chapter 12 tells us how to do it. Your whole life is your act of worship. The way you live your life every day is an act of worship. It says to the world that you really do believe that this baby who was born to Mary and Joseph that night is the Christ, is the King, is our Lord. because of the way you live. As James said, be doers of the word. Just do what the word says. It's not a burden. It's not, oh, I got to go be the Christian today. No, I get to be the witness for the kingdom of God. I get to do the things that the word of God tells me I should be doing. It's not telling me you got to do this. It's telling me you should want to do these things because you know me and because I live in you, you see. And it's all because it started when this baby comes into the world, who is our Savior. Genuine worship always changes how we return to our everyday routines. Genuine worship changes who we are every day. If you're saved by the blood of Christ, you should not be the same as you were before you were saved. If you've been saved for 2 years, you should not be the same as you were the year before. If you've been saved for 20 years, you should not be the same as you were 5 years ago. I was watching, I can't remember the man's name. I think he's a man in South Carolina. I think that he'd finally been awarded a Purple Heart that he had deserved for so long. And I think he's 90s. He might be 90 some years old at this point. And he looked like a frail old man. He looked like what an old dude looks like. But you could, even on the TV, on the news, you could look in his eyes and see there's a mighty soldier still in there. A man who made a decision to put his life on the line for me and you. Whatever it is that he did to earn that Purple Heart is not what you see when you look at his body, you see. When the uniform comes off, the character stays. Hello? Same thing when we leave the church, the character stays if it's genuine. The worship, if the worship is genuine and the praise is genuine and the commitment is genuine, if we're genuinely doers of the word, then the character of Christ stays. You see, we don't get to turn it on and off. We don't get to hate Mondays and love Sundays. We don't get to, well, Thursday's here and I'll go to church Sunday and fix all this, kind of. We don't get to turn it on and off. How we speak, how we work, how we forgive others, how we serve others, it always reveals what we truly believe. And believe it or not, there are people in the world who look at the Christians during January and February, and they're genuinely and intentionally looking at you to see if what was going on in November, December is the same in your Christian life. They're doing it. Why are they doing that? To be judgmental against you, maybe? I think they're probably doing it because they want to find some place that can show them what's real. Somebody that knows Jesus for real. I think that's what they're looking for. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, present your bodies as living and holy sacrifices. Now, y'all can put that in your pocket and take it home and let it hit you however which way the Lord wants it to hit you. But it's a small part of a larger statement in Romans chapter 12 that's teaching us what it looks like to be Christian folks, spiritually healthy Christian folks. Your life is an act of worship. Point number three. Three of three, y'all. Luke chapter 2, once again, go down to verse 39 and 40. When they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city of Nazareth. The child continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Talking about Joseph and Mary and Jesus. It is very appropriate for us to go on about our business, go on about our lives every day. I think the point I'm trying to help us focus on is what matters is how we do that. What matters is whether or not we carry our faith with us, or do we leave it in the attic with all the other Christmas stuff. Especially as we begin another year and make a bunch of commitments that we may or may not be able to commit, keep our commitments. There's no fanfare in these verses, in these two verses. There was no parade. There was no jumping up and down. There was no angels popping out saying, go do this, go do that. This is what. There wasn't none of that at this point. The big event had come to an had run its course, for the trumpet sounds and the entrance of the king, which was very appropriate, in my opinion. But here it says, they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, meaning they finished what they went there to do in the first place. They went about their business. This was no excuse for them to sit down and say, oh, the king's here. We don't have to live our lives anymore. And it also says that the child grew and became strong, increased in wisdom. The grace of God was upon him. In other words, Jesus made his entrance as this baby. And then he also began to go about what he came here to do, which was to grow into a man and become the sacrifice for mine and your sins. You see, just because something happens in your life that God does, doesn't mean that's it. There's more. As long as God gives us breath, there's more life to live. There's a big oak tree sitting out here. I think everybody knows about it. It's right over there in the parking lot. It's a big tree, in my opinion. I don't know how long that thing's been there, but I guarantee it's been there for a long time. Just standing there. You ever think about what a tree does? A tree does a lot of things. But it looks like it's just standing there. And every now and then it does this when the wind blows. That's it. I'm like, how easy could it be to be a tree? Just be a tree and grow. It seemed like it would be easy, but it does. It's not that easy to be a tree. You have to endure storms. You have to perform. You have to make oxygen. You have to provide a home for critters. You have to drop leaves on the ground after you look pretty in the fall. You have to do all that stuff as a tree. I don't see that tree stressing out about it. I see that tree being a tree. But it's a slow thing. Faithfulness matters more than flashiness is my point. Because how many times we drive by that big tree every Sunday or during the week when we're here? We know it's there. We see it every now and then. But we just drive by because it's a big oak tree that's always there. It's not being flashy. Maybe in the fall we can say, okay, well, it's making pretty leaves. But that's it. That's all the flash there is. But it's faithful. Because every day I come up here so far, it's standing there being a tree. Growth takes time. As people, as God's creation, just like that tree, we should be wanting to do what we're created to do. What we're created to do is bring glory to God. That's what we're created to do. We seem to have trouble with that from time to time. Because we have this awareness of time, right? We have this awareness of things that affect us. The way we do what we're created to do is just like James said, be doers of the word. What does the word say to do? Well, stay committed to prayer. Talk to God. Lift up your voice to the Lord. Read his scripture. You want to find out what the Lord wants you to know? Read the Bible. And let the Spirit of God reveal some truth into your life. And then after you've talked to God and listened to God, then go do. Be obedient. Go do what he says. Go be a Christian. Go be a man of God, a woman of God, a child of God. Just go do it. That's how you celebrate Christmas throughout the year. Why do you act like a Christian all the time? Why do you do what the Bible tells you to do? Because my Savior came as a baby who is the king to go to the cross so I could be saved and not go to hell. That's why I do it. You see. That's why I have joy in my heart while I do it. We talked about grumbling this morning in our Bible study. And every time I do a Bible study about grumbling, it's almost like there's a silent grumbling going on with all of us. Like, oh, we're going to talk about grumbling. Because we know that we all fall into the trap of grumbling. That tree ain't grumbling out there. It's just being a tree. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9 talks about, let us not lose heart in doing good. There's a lot of things that can get in the way of your enjoyment of doing good. Letting Jesus be alive in you, which would lead us to do good things. We don't get to decide what good means. God says what's good. If it were up to us what good things are, if we get to decide what good is, then we wouldn't do half of the things that God would want us to do every day. Because either we don't think it's a good thing to do, or that good thing is not for me to do, it's for somebody else to do, because we don't really want to do it. Right? Do you think that Mary wanted to be a young girl who was pregnant and everybody knew she shouldn't have been? You think Joseph wanted to marry this girl who was pregnant when everybody knows she shouldn't have been? But they faithfully were obedient to God's word in their life, and they became like that oak tree. They just stood firm in what God said, and they become stronger for it. And they were blessed because of it. And they got to be in this Bible where it says Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. If she would have said, no, I'm out, I'm not doing that, she wouldn't have been able to get, she would have never had that moment with God. She would have never sat back and said, wow, look at what God is doing. She would have never seen that and never experienced it. And too many times we want the blessings and those experiences, those mountaintop experiences, but we don't want all the stuff that comes with it. The Christian life is not an amusement park that you get to pick what ride you want to ride for your enjoyment. I'm not going to go to this thing and that thing so I can feel good about my spiritual life and then never go through the hard things. That's not how it works. It can't be Christmas all the time. I mean, it is, but it can't be that we have everybody giving us gifts and all the chocolate that was on the table yesterday. You want to talk about blessed? If I'd have ate that whole plate of chocolate, I wouldn't even be here today, y'all. I'd be at the house. I'd be in trouble. Let me finish up with this right here. I'm going to finish this up. Y'all, this is not going, I hope you hear this the right way. The manger was only the beginning. Super important and super exciting and appropriately celebrated every year for us. But it only was the beginning, y'all. It is not even the whole story. It's not even the full thing. The real test of Christmas faith is not how we celebrate Christ's coming, even though that's important. It's important to know about Christmas and what it really is about. But it's how we follow Him once the season is over. Once the calendar turns to the next year, when it's January 1. Because I can tell you this, our Christmas decorations will be down by the end of next week. That's what we do. Not because we don't want to celebrate anymore, but because if I don't, they'll be up till March because I'll get busy. You see. We carry Christmas truth into the new year. We commit to daily faithfulness. You want to make some New Year's resolutions? That's a good one. Daily faithfulness to the Lord. Daily faithfulness to what we believe about Jesus. Daily faithfulness to our commitment to repent and surrender to His Lordship in our life. Daily commitment. I'm not going to sit back. We shouldn't sit back and say, Lord, this year I'm going to be committed to You. I don't know. I wouldn't advise that. You can try it if you want to, but I don't think I would advise that. I would encourage you to maybe consider, Lord, January 1, help me have the strength to be committed to You. And then January 1 at night when you go to bed, say, Lord, January 2, Lord, give me strength to help me be committed to You. And maybe ask God, say, Lord, help me every day to remember to make that commitment. Help me every day to stay faithful to that routine until it becomes a habit. And help me every day to look for You. And help me every day to sit back and ponder in my heart the things that You're doing. Help me every day to go about my business a changed man because of it. Maybe that's what we should consider. Verse 52 of chapter 2 in Luke says, Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. And I read that, and I said to myself, well, why is what happened to Jesus important to what I want to talk about today? Well, because Christians, we're trying to be like Jesus. Are we not? I know we're not going to be Jesus, but we're trying to be like Him. We're trying to live the way He showed us to live. Well, if He kept increasing in wisdom and stature, then maybe that's what I should strive for in the days to come. Because if I do, then maybe I'll have favor with God and men. You see, for His glory, not for me. Not so that I can be popular. Not so that I can be famous or rich or stress-free or whatever, so that God will get the glory, so that people will look at my life and say, man, if God can clean that dude up, maybe He can clean me up. You see. I'm going to say this and then I'm going to be done for this year. I ain't going to talk to y'all again until next year. I'm just kidding. The shepherds didn't stay in the manger. They returned to their fields changed. Mary didn't rush past the moment. She treasured it and allowed it to shape her heart. Jesus didn't remain a child in a cradle. He grew in wisdom, strength, and obedience. That's the pattern for real Christmas faith. As James reminds us, be doers of the word and not merely hearers. Christmas is not meant to be admired once a year and then packed away with the decorations. It's meant to be lived. After the songs fade away, and after the lights come down, after the manger is behind us and the call remains the same. Call is to walk faithfully, worship consistently, and live out what God has revealed. That's the call. Walk faithfully, worship consistently, and live out what God has revealed in your life. Because the true measure of Christmas is not how we celebrate Christ's coming, but how we follow Him after the evening at the manger. That's it. Isn't that great? I mean, isn't that simple? Easier said than done, but it is very simple. That's why me and James get along, even when I'm mad at him. I get mad at James. I'm like, man, I don't want to hear that. When he's like, you're going to hear it anyway. Turn the page, read some more. But you know, James makes it simple. If you love God, just do what He says. If you agree with God, do what He says. If you think that Jesus is the Christ and He's the King of the world, of the universe, and you want Him to be your Lord and Savior, then do what the Bible tells you to do. Because that's God speaking to you. And stop doing what the Bible tells you to stop doing. Right? Be Jesus with skin on. You know, you don't get to do that, but you get to surrender to that. Right? Because if you're going to surrender to the kingdom of God and let Jesus bring the Spirit of God into your life so that He can live in you, then you're not living anymore, are you? Jesus is living in you. And you may never say a word about Christmas to anybody in the middle of the summer, but somebody's going to know about Christmas because of the way you're living your life. Right? And I feel like if we could ever develop disciplines and habits that help us do better at these things, the older we get, the longer we live in this world doing those things, the better our Christmas time of worship become. The more meaningful they really become. Because if you're like me, you live long enough, you start missing folks over time. It's the way life is. Right? So why piddle around? You call yourself a Christian? Then be the Christian. Surrender. Do. Just like the oak tree. He don't have to call himself an oak tree. He just is an oak tree. Right? I was so happy when y'all hired me. I come up here. I don't even know if this is important. But I've come up here. We drove up on a parking lot to do an interview to be hired on at Oak Grove Christian Church. And I told my wife when we were driving over, I said, there better be at least one oak on that property. Because there's too many churches that call themselves some tree oak, some tree grove, and ain't one tree on their whole property. I was like, how you going to be Oak Grove if there's no oak tree? And I was like, okay, there's an oak tree over there. And I was satisfied. Silliness, isn't it? Silliness. I love you and the Lord loves you. And I hope that the rest of your year, the last few days of this year, should the Lord give it to us, will be a blessing. You can get restored. You can get excited about 2026 because, as I've mentioned before, the Lord is going to do some great things with this church. And I don't know exactly what those things are, but it's going to be exciting. And I would encourage you to be ready for it, to look for it, find ways to notice those things and participate together. And we're going to talk about that more as time comes in the near future. I'm going to send out some emails to y'all over the next couple weeks to give you a bunch of information. And we're going to pray about things and see what the Lord does. It's going to be amazing. God's been good.